Well, we're still in our series 180 from the book of Romans. As you may recall, just a little recap here and there, the first two chapters, man needs a Savior. Amen? Amen. The next three chapters dealt with something called what? Justification, right? Justification. Chapter 6, Pastor Tommy shared how the Christian can experience victory over habitual sin. That in Christ, we are already dead to sin. We just need to yield ourselves to the spiritual reality and not the enemy's lies. That was chapter 6. Chapter 7 was basically continuing in the same theme. Pastor Dave shared about it. Basically, it's about the details of what it's like, when you look at chapter 7, what it's like to live by our own resources. I don't know about you, but how far do your own resources get you? Well, I could honestly say, my wife could actually tell you even more, my own resources don't get me too far. Today, we're sharing from Romans chapter 8, and if I can subtitle Romans 8, the part we're going to be talking about, and actually the whole chapter, take this in, take notes if you could, life in the Spirit, life in the Spirit. Romans 8 is really about life in the Spirit. And in particular, I want to begin to dissect or begin to take apart, of course, for time, we're not going to be able to cover everything. I want to be able to pick apart Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. If you have a Bible, we have a message guide. However you want to follow us, that's up to you. Overview, what's happening in Romans 8? What's happening in Romans chapter 8? What Paul is doing, he begins Romans 8 by comparing the old life, the flesh, versus the new life given and provided through the same Spirit that rose who from the dead? That rose Christ, our Lord Jesus, from the dead. My water. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but when Paul's writing this letter, and this is important, when he's writing the letter, he's writing to an audience that he never seen. He had never met them yet. Basically, we believe historically that he got some feedback from Priscilla and Aquila, but at the time that Paul writes this letter, he had never seen these people. So he's not going to act presumptuously. He's not going to assume anything. So he's writing this letter to those who are already believers. He's not writing, and what he's writing about, he's not writing about something they've not experienced. What he's doing is he's reminding them to reflect on what they already have. Amen? He's reminding them of what they already have. And in this chapter, all that Paul is doing is he's just adding the Holy Spirit into the mix. That's what he's doing in Romans 8. So we don't want to overread into it, but we don't want to underread into this chapter. And as a quick side note, in this chapter, the Greek word flesh. Now, please, I want you to take this in a little bit. The Greek word flesh refers to the sinful state or nature of human beings, often presented in the context of this chapter, often presented as a power in opposition to the Spirit. And by the way, if you don't know it, the Holy Spirit is mentioned in this chapter alone at least 19 or 20 times. Now, I would say that's pretty important, wouldn't you? So we got this whole great thing happening here. Paul's reminding them who they are, what Christ is. and we're going to rehash that a little bit, but he's going to add something great, and I want you to follow through the entire message here this morning. He's going to add the Holy Spirit into the mix. Bring up the big picture. Come on, read it with me. But you, but in what? If what? Now, I want you to take that right away. What does it say there? But you are in, not in the flesh, but doesn't say ought to be in the Spirit, right? We're going to hit this. We're going to repeat this a few times. No, but in the Spirit, what? If indeed, who is in you? The Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would anoint me, inspire me, and empower me with unction to preach this message this afternoon, that you administer to our hearts, to the people, Lord, your people. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, would fill me, God, and anoint me and empower me with life, unction, and freedom to convey this message, Lord. Without you, I cannot do it. And I humble myself to you, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. First, our life now. Our life now, free from condemnation. Free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done, look at, has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In order that the righteous requirement of the law, I want you to get that, might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul simply, immediately mentions there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. What's wrong? What is wrong? When you look at that, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Why suddenly is he talking about no condemnation? Why? Why suddenly? And it's kind of funny. I mean, when you look at the chapter itself, all by itself, when he speaks about no condemnation, it doesn't seem to fit. And it begins to baffle your mind. You're like, Lord, Paul, like, what are you talking about? And yet, this is how he starts out. But you and I, we need to keep in context that the Bible wasn't broken out by chapter and verse. Remember chapter 7, right? Think about chapter 7. Remember, Paul's running with this thing. He's running with it. He's going with it. Remember, there are things that oppose us while we are in what? This body. While I'm in this body, I can't do everything. I can't. You have limitations. I have limitations, right? And guess what? In this body, limitations mean something else. What does it mean? It means you always don't have your act together. It means you don't always get it right. Okay? Okay? Gotcha. Paul is saying, just because you struggle, just because you've not arrived to where you want to be in Christ, you are not under condemnation. There's a lot of nations out there in the world, right? But no condemnation. God didn't give us condemnation to live under it. And just because, and I'm repeating myself, just because you and I have not arrived to where we would like to be in Christ does not mean that we're under condemnation. Just because you're not under condemnation, just because you've not arrived, you're not under condemnation. Paul says, keep going on. If you meet opposition, keep going on. Opposition doesn't mean that God's not with you anymore. Opposition doesn't mean that, you know what, God has taken a road trip from your life. No, you're not under condemnation. We read something earlier, and we're going to get to it. Let's look at verse 1 again. Look at it. Let's really capture what Paul is saying. Notice what he's not saying. What is he not saying? There is now less condemnation. Is he saying that? Is he saying there's no condemnation some of the time? Is he saying that? Do you read that? I don't read that. What he's saying is there is... You could bring up the next slide. There is no condemnation at all. At all. That the believer is finally, fully, permanently free. That the believer is finally, fully, permanently free. Why? Because of what? The redeeming, finished work of Christ on the cross. That's number one. Because of our faith in that, and then because of our faith in that redeeming blood, what are we? We're justified. We're declared righteous in the sight of God. And, sorry, love, we're accepted. Somebody's got to drive you crazy, right? We're accepted. When does God push you away? I'm getting ahead of myself. Because of our justification, you're a child of God. Not a child of the world, not an orphan child. But God has made you and I his very own son, his very own daughter. At the expense of his very own son. Cool or what? Think about it, my friends. What parent would condemn their own child? You're a child of God, so why would God condemn you? Why would he do that? The same exact spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside you and me. The same spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth, think about it, let's stop, let's hold on to this. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, where does he exist? Does he exist around you? Does he exist above you? No, he lives inside of you. I'm going to skip a piece, but let's look at verses 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, I'm just reading that again, the verses before, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Can you guys bring up that set of verses again? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I will go back for a second. Notice what's not there at the end of verse 4. What does it say? It doesn't say who ought not to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm reminding you of something again, like Paul. This is something that you already have. Not something you have to obtain. You already have it. If you have to work for it, it's no longer grace. God did all the work. You and I are still trying to climb, still trying to do something. Sam, I'm going to step on the camera. You and I are still trying to do it. We're still trying to do our own effort. We're still trying to add to God's grace, like we got to help God out. When did God need our help? When he created the world. When did God need my help? As far as I know, he hasn't called me up on my cell phone yet and said, hey, Vince, today, what do you think about what we're going to do today? No, he didn't say that. He doesn't need that. He's God all by himself, with or without me. So, here, what's Paul talking about in verse 3 and 4? I'm going to give you it in a nutshell. This is what's cool about God. It's the interchange. You see, what God has done in Christ, you see, Christ becomes what we are. So, this is cool. Christ has become what we are so that I might become what he is. You see, when God gave Jesus, he gave it all. I don't have to do anything anymore. Not, and I don't mean ever. I'm not saying never pray, read, seek God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know what? What God has done. There's no condemnation. If I'm supposed to be here, right? And I'm here, or somebody else is over there. You see, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation because you know what? He did it all. He did it all. I don't need to do anymore. He did it. You and I are no longer under any condemnation. So, our life now, free from condemnation. Second, our life in Christ. Our life in Christ. Where did I put my water? Oh. You guys watching me or what? My wife does, so you guys got to do the same thing. Hey, when she said I do, that was the end of it. She knows it, right? Well, our life in Christ, free from defeat, free from defeat. We have our life now, free from condemnation. Second, our life in Christ, free from defeat. Let's read it. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God or opposition against God. Remember what I said, the flesh is often presented as a power that's in opposition to the spirit. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me ask you a question. Before you were a Christian, who wanted to serve God? And even if you wanted to, you were not really truly able to. That's it. You see, God doesn't sit there. You see, with God, we don't want to hear this, but you see, God knows what we can't do. You know, that's us. He knows what we can't do, but God knows what he can do. So you know what? God doesn't wait for you and I to see what we can do. He comes and says, you know what? I'm going to do for you what you cannot do. There's no waiting. God took care of it. He's cool. God is great. But with Jesus in our lives, there's that desire and there's that passion to serve God and live like him. So what's Paul saying here? Let's kind of sum this quickly in verse 5. The unsaved person, the unbeliever, lives in the flesh, the sinful nature and for the flesh. His or her mind is centered on the things of the flesh that satisfy the flesh. But again, remember, we got one here and we got one there. There is no in-between as far as God's concerned, because if you and I could cross the bridge, he didn't need to send his son and God wasted his time, which you know he didn't waste no time. But the Christian has his mind fixed on the things of the Spirit, how he may live for God and minister on his behalf to others. Good? That's verse 5. We can't cover all the verses. Let's bring up the next set of verses. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is our big picture verse. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it's just simply not his. You see, when we had our first child and I was pregnant, Lily was pregnant, I wasn't halfway pregnant, was I? How can you be halfway pregnant? You can't be half pregnant. And I'm not trying to be offensive, but in the same manner, you can't be half saved, can you? You know what I'm saying to you? A woman cannot be half pregnant. A man cannot be half saved. You see, God doesn't, it's not cheap grace. It's powerful grace. It's fulfilling grace. When God does something, he does it what? All the way. You know, like when you watch football, he's going all the way. Amen. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Remember what Pastor Tommy shared two weeks ago. You see, if I'm an alcoholic and I'm dead, I can't be an alcoholic no more because I'm dead. I can't drink the alcohol no more. In Christ, I am dead to that. I am dead to that. But look what Paul says. But the Spirit is what? Life. Life. Because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, this is good stuff, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let me just state this. All regenerated Christians have the Spirit of Christ in them. Amen. All regenerated Christians already have the Spirit of Christ in them. Amen. Let's just look again. We're going to rehash and retackle some things. Look at verse 8. It does not say, bring up that set of slides. It does not say, but if you are not in the flesh, but ought to be in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Again, let me emphasize one more time to you guys. Paul is already telling them and you and I what we have in Christ. That God has given us victory already. Why does Jesus need to do something again that he already did? He already completed everything for you and I. He already went for the cross. He already fulfilled everything. There's nothing more to fulfill. This was the message to Roman believers. Bring up the next slide. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, I want you to know, is there one before that? Maybe it's missing. That's okay if it is. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are in and you are controlled by the Spirit. I'm not talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are controlled by and you are what? In the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are in the Spirit and you are controlled by the Spirit. And look, go back to that previous slide. The one that said he provides. Look at God. God is over awesome. No, he's over awesome. Think about it. He goes all out. Look, he provides the substitute, the atonement, our redemption through Jesus Christ, right? He takes care of the whole business. Now, this is where Paul's going to begin to add the Holy Spirit into the mix. He provides the substitute. He provides the atonement. He provides our redemption to Jesus Christ. Then you know what he does? He provides the Holy Spirit to guarantee it. Read that in the book of Ephesians. The Holy Spirit, right? Guarantees the redemption of the purchased possession. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Okay. My wife's going to get nervous. She's going to blow up the place in about 2 minutes. Just so I don't spill anything, we got a little box, all right? You know, what can I say? This is you and I. Before Christ, we're tainted, we're fallen, and we're unclean. You see it? This represents, let's just say, you and I, humanity. You and I. You and I. But when you add Jesus, when you add Jesus, something happens on the inside out, my friends. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Something happens on the inside out. Absolutely. He changes you 180 degrees, not 360 to keep you the same, But 180,
yes.
He makes you pure, clean, and righteous. You know what happens when you add Jesus? Something happens. You become God conscious, you become God loving, and you become God caring.
Come on now.
That's what you become. What did we say earlier? Christ became what we are so that we might become what he is.
Come on now, that's right.
Woo-ee-ah. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Jesus. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead gives life to your mortal body, not to sit in a cassock and dry and die and dry up. No, but to serve and obey the King of Kings, whereby you couldn't before, but now you can, because life exists within you, because the Son of God lives inside of you and me.
That's all right.
Okay, third, what do we have? We had our life now, free from condemnation. Second, our life in Christ, free from defeat, or freedom from defeat. Third, our life in the Spirit, free from failure and stagnation. Free from failure and stagnation. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. What? Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, I want you to take this in a little bit here. The Spirit himself, not you, the Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You remember this? This is you and I now, right? See it? What's happening in this? Ooh. Add a little Alka-Seltzer in there. See? As much as you have the Spirit has you.
All right. Ooh.
And is at work. You see how the Alka-Seltzer is making the water move like that? The Spirit's work is always active inside of you and I. As much as the Spirit has you, you have the Spirit has you, and is at work in you and I.
Right.
We're going to pick this apart a little bit because really, this is both prescriptive and descriptive. Paul is trying to tell us something here. You guys don't have to bring up the next. Keep that up there. Let's look at some of these verses. Look at verse 13. If we allow him and yield to him, the Holy Spirit puts to death the deeds of the body. Don't you see the Spirit of God? You see, God gave us Christ, but he gave us the Holy Spirit to guarantee what Christ did. Isn't this great that the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit is inside of us, lives and is at work in you and I? This is exciting. We put so much effort on ourselves. We stress out so much about ourselves. But basically, as we yield to God, God is at work in you and I. You see, like a husband and wife, see, I'm in union with God now. And now that I'm in union with him, his Holy Spirit now dwells inside of me. And not only that, the Holy Spirit is at work inside of me to perfect that which concerns me. Look at verse 13 again. I'm going to repeat it one more time. If we allow him and yield to him, the Holy Spirit puts to death the deeds of the body. What deeds? Any deeds. Anything that would set out to destroy us. Anything that would harm us. Any sinful deeds. Anything. Any struggles. Look at verse 14. As children of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. Right? You can go back to the other verses. Not that yet. You just go back. Look at verse 14. As children of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. Look, the Holy Spirit reproduces the things of the Spirit. What are some of the things of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Against such there is no law. You see, you don't remain. God keeps you and I from remaining under guilt and condemnation, stressing out. Don't get me wrong, we all do it. Verse 15. Receive not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but what? The spirit of what?
Adoption.
Look, adoption. God empowers you and I to obey him. It's adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. You see, when you begin to recognize God as your Father, that means you want to obey him. That means you want to walk with him. That means you want to say, okay, God, go. Let me do what you want me to do.
Amen. Yes, you do.
That spirit of adoption through the Holy Spirit works inside of us so that you and I want to obey him, not out of obligation, but out of love and relationship.
Amen.
Because he's alive and he lives inside of you. That's why. Look at this. The Spirit himself, this is great. This is the task of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what the last slide was. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know what that is? You guys fall asleep. You know what that is? That's anti-identity theft. That's what that is. That's anti-identity theft. Why? Because you want the Spirit reminds us, bears witness with our spirit. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And sometimes we got to tell our mind that. We got to tell our body that. I am a child of God. You know, when life is hard and people beat you up and the enemy does. No, I am a child of God. That's what you are, though. You have an identity. You're not left for nothing. You're not like a person that God just walks all over like people do. No. You are a child of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that what? We are children of God. You see the task of the Holy Spirit? Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does it simply mean? It means we share in his work. You see, it's odd that God would not only save us, it's odd even still that he would give the Holy Spirit to guarantee and work in us. But finally, in all of this, the Holy Spirit makes us a partner with God to share in his power and his kingdom to minister to people's lives. You could pray for the sick. You could minister to people. You can set people free. You can tell them about the forgiveness and love and life of Jesus.
Amen, brother.
We share in this thing. It's a God-given thing. The Spirit has made us what? If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know what the Holy Spirit is for? You want to know what the Holy Spirit's for? It's to continue the ministry of Jesus on earth. Not to sit in the pew and look at the screen like that. And I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying. You are something. This is not like, I'm not trying to be motivational speaking. No, we are. You know what? The enemy just wants to just keep us right down. No, no. And I got news for you. Let me tell you something. And I was telling somebody, and I tell a lot of people this. It's when you get up and you start ministering to people and you start doing something for God as ministering to people, that's when the enemy will step on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
Not when you sit down, not when we attend, not when we have our own ministry, but when that ministry, when you begin to get a hold and you begin to build a relationship with people, you begin to speak in their lives, you begin to minister on behalf of the others, that's when the enemy, you meet resistance. Look at the Acts of the Apostles. It wasn't the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that meant they met resistance. No, it's when the man was healed at the temple gate. Because now you've taken somebody and you've freed them from the kingdom of the enemy.
Amen.
You've done something.
That's right.
as God would do. You've, listen to me, I'm going to say it again. You've done something as God would do. Jesus doesn't leave people in the same state that they're in.
He sure doesn't.
That's why we are able to share in his work. I'm winding down. Let's take a look at this video. Do we have that video?
My lord, Gandalf the Grey is coming.
Theoden, son of Thangor. Too long have you sat in the shadows.
Yeah.
I release you. I will draw you, Saruman.
Watch the transformation.
Poison is drawn from our wound.
You see, we share in this thing. God's given us something to transform and make a difference in people's lives. Don't worry about where you're not. The Holy Spirit will take care of that, who will bring you and work in you, as we've been talking about, to bring you and make you what you should be. The Spirit of God wants to take you and I and work in our lives. Are you here today? I know we're closing down. You coming up, bro? We're closing down, but with eyes closed, are you here today? Stop. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. It's enough is enough. If you're not at your best for God, don't worry about it. God's at his best for you. If you're here today, first and foremost, and you need that transformation, you need Jesus in your life, raise your hand. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll be at the back in that corner at the end if you want to talk with us, some of us. Are you here today? And you need and you want, you know what? I want to begin to share in the things of God. And you feel like you've been sitting still or stagnating. No, he set us free from stagnation and failure. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit loves you and I. God's given us his Holy Spirit, his Son. It's all part of the package. Sometimes people say, well, you talk about the Holy Spirit more than Jesus. No, they're all one. They're all one. It's part of the package, okay? We don't exalt anybody except Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you're here today, too, we'll meet you in the back, too, later on.